My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
A ball hit high and deep to right field. This game's over. Josh Smith walks it off. Rangers down to their final out of the 10th. And the Astros lose in a heartbreaker 4-3. A two-out home run in the 8th ties it. And a two-out home run in the 10th wins it.
So close to picking up a half a game. Last night, that was Todd Callis on the call. The Texas Rangers walk it off last night against your Houston Astros 4-3. The final score, the offense, still a big problem for this team. Caleb Ferguson gave up the game-winning home run. He was one of the new trade deadline acquisitions. But these are tough times, man. Tough times for Astro fans as we welcome you in on a Tuesday. Payne and Pendergast here. We're with you till 10 o'clock today. John Harris joins us at 8 o'clock live from Texans training camp in Ohio. Good morning, Seth Payne.
Whatever.
It's not a good morning. I'm just being colloquial.
I don't think you're as distraught over this loss as you should be. Okay. You spent yesterday trying to convince me of how destitute the Astros lineup was right now, and I fought it. I fought the good fight, and you were whining about how the Astros can't seem to hit with bases loaded. So last night, for those of you who missed the game, three times in the final four innings of this extra innings game, the Astros had the bases loaded. Yeah. Three times. And they why were you giving me the three? Did I say
three? No, three. Yeah, I'm just playing along.
Three times they had the bases loaded. And hey, don't worry. They scored a run off of a Jeremy Peña dribbler. Might have gone 4 feet. I don't know. Chandler Rome said 3 feet. I'm going to give him credit for four. Oh my gosh. If the Astros had won this game, it would have been a really, really fun and good win. It was a lot of tension throughout, a lot of frustration. And yet at the same time, I don't know if I would have felt any different afterwards because, man, all of the warts and blemishes and Pedro Leones are right there to see where they are right now as an organization. And they were awesome offensively in July, but since the All-Star break, they've been hitting, you know, three runs per game. It's been a mess.
Yeah, they're an average baseball team. I think that's the best way I can put it. Like, I know they're not hitting well at all right now. Like, we're three-fourths of the way into the season at this point, right? They're 57-55, so we're a week away from being three-fourths of the way through the season. They're an average baseball team who doesn't, you know, they don't play just average baseball all year. They played horrible at the beginning of the year. Yeah. They played phenomenally in July. They're horrible again in August. They've got a big enough sample size now. They're a team that is, because of injuries, their pitching is, I would say, is slightly above average overall. Maybe just above average. Their hitting falls off. Here's the biggest problem. Their hitting falls off a cliff after the top portion of the lineup, like off a cliff. And I don't think yesterday you were defending the Astros as a whole lineup wise. You know what I mean? Like I said, my take yesterday was this is where not having Kyle Tucker really feels like it comes back to roost. Just the feeling of having another big bat in the lineup, batting, say, cleanup maybe. And I think you were more defending Yiner Diaz than you were defending the Astros lineup. And appropriately so. Yiner has, by and large,
he's been the one good thing.
Yes, he's, you know, yes.
As they've been in this drought.
Including Altuve and Yordan. Like, Yiner's been the one guy. My feeling is just big picture. Like, if Yiner's OPS is still below 800. Like, it's not like Yiner Diaz is Mike Piazza or something like that. So, I'm more concerned about the bigger picture. We have no idea if Kyle Tucker's coming back this year. Like, I would, if someone gave me some odds on it right now, I would bet on Kyle Tucker not coming back this year, yeah, the way that's going. I really would. So, that's my concern, is that they've got way too many automatic outs in this lineup right now. Like non-competitive at-bats in this lineup right now.
I'll tell you the other depressing thing, as far as the trade acquisitions, it was hard enough seeing Yandy Diaz out there this weekend. The one consolation prize there, by the way, was that the Yankees fans, a lot of Yankees were in on Yandy as well, yeah, and they said, well, at least the Astros didn't get him and screw us once again.
Okay, so yet
I'm like, oh man, we had a chance to really screw the Yankees. And hardcore, and we didn't do it. Yeah. So, but that's neither here nor there. So Kikuchi looked great. Caleb Ferguson right now is rocking a Forrest Whitley and AAA-esque ERA of 10.13.
Sweet.
So it's Caleb Ferguson hasn't been fun. That hasn't been a fun acquisition. He lets up a home run that loses the game for him.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'm depressed. I'm agitated. I feel like it's like when you feel like you got to poop, but you can't, Sean. Constipated. These Astros have constipated me.
Yeah. The one saving grace is they're in the American League West. That's what's saving them right now. You know what I mean?
That's like my X-Lax.
That's your X-Lax.
That's my X-Lax, the A's. I got to rely on the A's for happiness.
Your laxative.
The Sacramento A's.
Your white powder or whatever type of laxative you use is the fact that, well, it's the Mariners really are the laxative. The fact that that's the team you're chasing right now. They're not very good either. So that's.
Well, but you also get to face the A's.
Eventually. You know? Yeah. So that's where we are right now with the Astros, man. You're right, man. Chandler Rome had some depressing numbers in this article about the Astros. 6 runs in 36 innings in the month of August. Oof.
Yeah. Oof. I think the biggest one, I think the most telling one, and it's incredibly depressing.
Yeah. Yeah, what's the most depressing one?
Okay, when we look at this team where they made that push and it looks now like they're all trying, like they're physically taxed from that push where they got themselves back up into the division lead.
Yeah.
There are 23 players in Major League Baseball who have played 915 defensive innings or more.
Okay.
3 of them are Astros, Peña, Bregman, and Altuve.
Yep.
And it feels like just one of those things that makes you really wonder if they can sustain any of this momentum that they had created and how those guys are going to fare on the back end. I mean, last night I got excited because Bregman got up early in the game. Looked like he was kind of, what was it, the third inning? Looked like he was kind of disgusted almost. Like, all right, come on, let's do this. And then he hits a home run, barely, into the Crawford boxes. But you think, all right, here we go. This is it. This is where they turn. And then they go and they squander the bases loaded 3 times in the final 4 innings.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating.
Yeah.
And I'm watching the YouTube highlights this morning, and they got, who the hell's their color commentator for the TV broadcast?
For the Rangers?
The former player, the Rangers.
Oh, is it still CJ Nikowski?
It's Nikowski because he pissed me off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll grab the audio here and I'll play that a little bit later so I can get people even more angry about this.
That whole thing about Peña, Altuve, and Bregman playing all those innings, I mean, I get it. Look, the only one of those three that I feel any sort of angst over is Altuve, just because he's an older player. He's had some soft tissue stuff the last couple of years. He hasn't hit a home run since July 12th. So the eye test would seem to indicate that maybe Altuve is being taxed a little bit right now. I feel zero remorse over Peña. And Peña is a young player who's in good shape. Like, you got to play every day sometimes, man. And that, honestly, Bregman is not a good enough player. He's not a productive enough player if he wants to get the contract he wants to be taking load management days off. Like, that's been his calling card the last couple of years. He's finally healthy,
so he
plays 155 games a year.
I think the thing about those three guys having as many innings isn't about the individuals themselves. It's that, like, this is the state of their roster and their lineup.
That
they can't afford to give those guys breaks. That it just goes to show. I know what you're saying, Sean, about Bregman. In an ideal world, though, you would be load managing a little bit more, because theoretically, that's the thing that helps spark people like that.
Yeah.
But they're so destitute, and they're bringing up minor leaguers that, not only are you, it's not like you don't think they're ready, it's just that you don't know whether they're even Major League Baseball players.
Well, dude, Dana Brown was saying 2 days ago, like, well, we may need to bring up Shea Whitcomb or Zach DiCenzo this week.
Oh, yeah. You know what angered me this weekend was Pedro Leon. Okay, two things. One, I'd excuse, he makes a bad throw to third when Jose Siri tries to stretch from going from first to second, which he should have stopped at second. But he said, all right, let's test this rookie. Yeah. Pedro Leon misfired. And then later in the same game, he gets his first major league hit, but idiotically, or maybe this was the next day, tries to stretch it into a double. Yeah. Gets thrown out like a country meter short of second base, and gets to the dugout, and everybody's all, hey, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah,
well,
that.
You got your first major league hit. Go die. Like, what the hell? No, this team is not in a position to be just laughing off idiocy like this.
Well,
my God.
Pedro Leon got the same manual that everybody else gets when they become a Houston Astro. Here's how to run the bases very, very poorly. Because that's what the Astros do. Here you go.
He's aggressive to the point of sheer stupidity base running.
Keep him away from Altuve, okay? Altuve.
Chaz last night had a brilliant catch in left field, but then had a wild throw home later.
Brutal throw. Oh, my God. What was
one
that?
One of the things that, you know, caused that. That's the one that could have cost you the game right there.
Yep. Yeah, so we say all that to say, not a great morning to wake up as an Astros fan. Game and a half back. The division is the only thing that's saving them right now. And it's not just that the lineup falls off a cliff. Like, the guys who you're normally counting on, you know, like, let's face it. If they make it to the postseason, the guys who are going to carry them, Altuve hasn't hit a home run since July 12th. Yordan Alvarez has hit one home run since July 3rd. And Bregman's home run last night was his fifth extra base hit in 18 games. That's your 1, 2, and 3 guys, man. It's a miracle they're 7-19 in their last 16 games, but getting zero power out of their three big power hitters right now.
Altuve had a couple of leadoff walks in the previous series. That was encouraging.
There you go. And I hear they hit 17 foul balls.
I'm honestly excited about that. That's good judgment, buddy. This is a way to hold off, man.
Yeah. All right, so the Astros lose last night. We still got some Astros stuff to get to. Verlander pitched over the weekend. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. Hopefully we get some clarity on what his near future looks like. Texans are practicing.
Well, good job to Hunter Brown.
Hunter Brown was great again last night.
Don't want to gloss over or just muddle through all the positives.
So. Yeah, yep. Hunter Brown.
All the positives.
Hunter Brown, who's like the main positive from the last month.
They did manage to load the bases three times in the final four.
They did.
You're ignoring that, yeah.
Well, I pointed out their bases loaded issues.
Mr. Spoil Sport.
Yeah. Yep. All right, the Texans are practicing in Ohio. We got some good news for people who are looking to tune into the preseason game against the Steelers on Friday. We'll let you hear it straight from the head coach of the Houston Texans, D'Amico Ryans, coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
As we go through this week, we want to see our ones get more reps. So we're taking through even longer move the ball periods, and we want to see our starters get some reps this week versus Pittsburgh.
All right, so that was D'Amico Ryans. That was on the NFL Network yesterday. D'Amico met with the media. We'll hear from him in just a little bit about how things are going up in Ohio. Texans are practicing up there after playing in the Hall of Fame game over the weekend, and they play Pittsburgh Friday. 6 o'clock kickoff. You can hear the game right here on Sports Radio 610. Seth and I have you for pregame starting at 3 o'clock. So the starters are going to play, if it's anything, yeah. If it's anything like last season's first preseason game, because I think this is really, like, this is the first preseason game. It's like the Hall of Fame game was clearly treated as some sort of bonus game. You know, they've started a lot of the backups in that game. Like, now we're into what the normal preseason would look like, which would be starters playing a couple of series. I would expect this to look a lot like the New England game last year, mm-hmm. in the first preseason game they played against the Patriots.
Yeah, and I guess the big question is, okay, do the Steelers play their starters?
Yeah.
Tomlin usually plays at least one or two games with their starters. And this year, because they're trying to figure out whether Russell Wilson or Justin Fields is their starting quarterback, I bet each of those guys gets a start, and it's got me way more excited for this preseason game since maybe my rookie year. That was the last time I was my rookie year when I was actually trying to make a football team.
Right.
That was the last time I read this much into a preseason game.
And it's not even a Texans storyline. It's the Steelers, right?
Right. Well, partly, but also because this is the unveiling, kind of, of this 2024 Texans offense.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to see C.J. Stroud. You're going to see Stephon Diggs. You're probably not going to see Joe Mixon. I'd be very surprised. Yeah. But even better, we want to see exactly what Dameon Pierce looks like.
Mm-hmm.
He, like last year, the beginning of the season, when the Texans played the Steelers, that was when we were really starting to wonder, oh, man, what's going on with Dameon Pierce? And we get to see exactly what we have in this offense. Now, it is still a preseason game, but like Tomlin and D'Amico are two coaches who both very much want a physical training camp. There's been chippiness in both these camps. I think you get a vastly more watchable product in the first quarter of this preseason game than your average preseason game.
Yeah, okay, so you touched on a couple things there that I wanted to hit. Let's start with Pierce. All the reports by people like us, by other people who've had a chance to watch maybe some stuff you and I haven't gotten to see, like in OTAs and minicamp, like all the reports on Dameon Pierce have been glowing. You know, that he looks more decisive, he's very positive, he's really been very introspective during this offseason as to what it is he needs to fix. He's been introspective about this going back to last year when it was going poorly for him. Like, Damian's not a dummy. He knows what was going on last year with him. He was benched at the end of the season. So everything with no pads on, everything with shoulder pads, but you can't bring guys to the ground, everything that we've been able to see so far, we've been able to look at Dameon Pierce and go, okay, well, he looks different. He looks more decisive. This is the first chance we're going to get to see him really unleash it. If this is a new Dameon Pierce, the Steelers, the Texans are going to be fully blocking. The Steelers are going to be fully tackling and bringing guys to the ground. So if we see Dameon Pierce and it's pitter-pat, pitter-pat, pitter-pat again with his feet as he gets to the line of scrimmage, then everything we've been seeing in the preseason so far is fugazi in my mind. It's phony.
Well, and that's where, you know, going against backups, some of the guys who will be starters most likely for the Texans, Kenyon Green and Juice Scruggs, and there's a good chance Blake Fisher plays this year, whoever the swing tackle ends up being.
Yeah.
One of the most encouraging things about that game the other night was that there were times where you could see that it was the running back's fault. And some of the running backs had some vision issues, but the blocking was clear and good and functional. So I think that those two go hand in hand, obviously, but if the offensive line blocks well enough that you can actually see where the running back should be going and whether they're being decisive enough, then we get a really good feel for Dameon Pierce.
Where are you on C.J. Stroud playing in a preseason game with a rookie left tackle against this defense?
Against Highsmith,
yes,
especially.
Yes.
Because you won't see T.J. T.J. Watt stays mostly on the left side.
Yep.
I'm happy that Blake Fisher has already gone against a bunch of really good defensive ends in camp.
Yep.
If he had gone against, you know, some of the you know, just a bunch of grinders for a few weeks and then all of a sudden showed up against Highsmith, I think he might have been in for it. But if he does face the Steelers starters, it's not going to be completely it's not going to be a bloodbath.
Right.
Now, I mean, Blake Fisher has work to do. And it's you know, I hopefully seeing somebody in a different uniform who's a starter for another team kind of triggers something in him in a good way. You tend to take a big leap in that, or at least after that first preseason game.
Are you nervous about Stroud playing with Fisher out there against Highsmith in this preseason game?
No, I think that, you know, Stroud has developed a pretty good sense for getting rid of the ball. You know, he doesn't take a lot of needless sacks. The biggest thing I worry about is pressure right up the gut.
Yeah.
I worry about like when Quentin Williams just got right up on him and Stroud didn't have any time to react, or in that Ravens game in the playoffs when there was so much pressure up the middle. So that was one of the reports from Cody Stutes yesterday was that the defensive line was tearing up the interior offensive line for the Texans. But yeah, the guys he mentioned were backup defensive tackles.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that was the second string offensive line and not Juice Scruggs and Kenyon Green.
Yeah, I got a little nervous yesterday just knowing that it'll be Fisher out there against Highsmith, against the Steelers. And then I kind of took a step back and I'm like, well, they did play the Steelers in week four last year in a real game with Austin Deculus as their left tackle.
Right,
you know,
right.
So that was probably a little more treacherous than whatever it is CJ's going to face on Friday night.
I think that's a really good point, though. And it's important to point out that for the most part, the Texans, they did a much better job in pass protection last year than they did run blocking. Part of that was because Bobby Slowick did a good job of scheming the protection.
Yeah.
So that's the question is, I, for one, it's a preseason game, so they're going to hold their cards close to their vest. But also, yeah, do you see them just worry? I don't think you're going to see the wide open version of the Texans offense.
No.
I don't think they just go out there with five-man pass protection right away and take their chances. I think there's going to be a lot of help from the tight ends and running backs and pass protection.
I kind of hope that's what it is, honestly. So D'Amico Ryans met with the media yesterday. They're up in Ohio this week, and D'Amico said this is a great chance for them to bond as a team.
Yeah, getting away for a week in camp, the most important thing about it is you see guys communicate more. You see guys just hanging out more in the meal room, just talking, playing video games together. So that's that's what you want as a coach. You want to see your team grow a tighter bond when you're on the road for a week. And that's what our guys are doing. And I'm excited. That's what I'm probably most excited about, is seeing our guys just become tighter as a team. And the tighter we are, I always speak this, the tighter you are as a team, the better your team is, the farther you can go as a team when you have that tight bond.
Yeah, it's one of the things about modern training camps that I think a lot of the coaches probably miss is that it used to be much more of a Junction Boys feel to it, where, okay,
get away.
Through adversity. Yeah, I mean, and there's the one part about, you know, it's good that they're smarter about beating the crap out of guys right before the season. You know, it used to be the dumbest mindset ever, is that you, like, physically destroy dudes right before you go into a season. But that part of kind of facing adversity and also just being all cloistered together, like in a basic training type of atmosphere, I think you miss out on that. That's why there was I think a lot of people appreciated when they went up to West Virginia those 2 years.
Because
you get a, not that it paid off in a Super Bowl victory or anything, but yeah, I think this is probably a nice little dose of that, kind of getting away for summer camp.
Yeah, I think teams should do it every year. Like, just for, not for the whole training camp, but like just for, if the, I mean, the Texans are fortunate that the schedule lent itself to this, that they played in the Hall of Fame game. And maybe it was by design that their next game was in Pittsburgh and they planned on doing this. But I think it's a good thing, man. I think every team should do that.
Well, the fact that the Cowboys go out to California every year, that would be really cool if it weren't for the fact that their owner turns everywhere they go into a traveling circus.
Yes.
So it's not, I don't think it probably has the same effect on the Cowboys that it does for other teams. But yeah, when you go to a college dorm somewhere and guys are, you know, I like the move-in day videos of guys showing up with the refrigerators or McMahon with his case of beer and all that stuff.
Yeah. Not as circusy as it used to be for out in Oxnard for the Cowboys.
That's true, yeah. It's a depressing, like, animal rights activists were effective in shutting that circus down.
PETA's been there for 25 years. They finally got their pound of flesh. Jerry
got
Jones.
Pictures of what's happened to Ezekiel Elliott over the years. Look at what happens.
Before,
I got a picture of
after.
Ezekiel Elliott running for like 2.2 yards per carry.
God.
This is what happens when you cage a beautiful animal. Yeah.
Oh, that's phenomenal. Text message. It's a crazy world we live in when a football coach says he's glad to see his men playing video games together.
I thought the same thing. I thought the exact same thing. You know what I thought too? When Andre was talking about in his Hall of Fame induction, yeah, how he misses the plane rides and just hanging out and everything. And but even Andre would have gone through, Andre went through the stage where it changed. Like the plane rides changed. It first started when guys started being able to play video games with, you know, with other guys remotely, but on the plane.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like, oh, okay. Like, guys aren't congregated in the aisle playing cards. There used to be card games where guys would just, you know, you'd have a few guys with aisle seats and you'd be playing cards with the cards out in the floor and everything. Like, it was fun, man. Mm-hmm. You'd have the dealer just, that was fun. You could sit and then you'd be on your knees watching the card game. And that all changed like around 2003, 2004.
Yeah.
So now I can only imagine, like, it's guys editing their TikTok videos.
You would be so grumpy.
You guys want to tell dirty stories or anything? Right. What the hell's going on?
Jerry Hughes.
I'm trying to live vicariously through the single guys, and you guys are sitting here trying to...
Jerry Hughes is walking the aisle. Anybody want to roll dice in the back of the plane?
Yeah,
anybody?
Yeah, yeah.
Anybody? Anybody?
These kids don't even know what Blu-ray is.
That's right. That's right.
Gosh.
Did you ever see
where is the dude who is irresponsibly gambling away the money that he's the guy that's barely on the squad that's gambling his whole paycheck? That's what I miss.
Did it ever get heated in any of the card games that you watched on the plane?
It got the Blu-ray game. Yeah. When I was young, they had a Blu-ray game that got out of control to the point where there was a guy who was like a roster bubble guy who had lost a game check,
like his signing bonus or something,
and,
right?
And like the collections process got interesting. So one day this guy, what was his name? He's just a fringe offensive lineman. He owed somebody money and he wasn't paying up. So one day they went and they had somebody go and strip the wheels off of his truck and they had it out on blocks.
On bricks? On blocks?
With a cardboard sign that said bankrupt on it. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's phenomenal. That is
I had
great.
Another guy, my friend Brant Boyer, special teams coach for the Jets. He was a really good cards player. He was a sharp dude. He's an awesome personality. He ended up, I remember taking Kevin Hardy's leather jacket off of him.
Dude.
He was like, he was settling with Hardy, and it was a lot of money. And Hardy was like, man, I can't do any more than this. And Brandt was like, all right, I'll take that jacket, and then we'll be clear.
I wonder if he still has that jacket. That's something I would frame that jacket if I were him and hang it in my man cave.
They put it, it got out of control. We had to have a team meeting about it.
Really?
We had to basically put a limit on it. We had to put a gambling limit on it.
That's crazy. Bad. So that was when you were with the Jags, and that was a team that had a lot of God-fearing guys on it, too. That must have been a hell of an airplane to be on,
it
man.
Was like the Jaguars were
Bible,
one of the first...
Bible study in the front, Bouret in the back, man.
The Jaguars were one of the first teams that had like a huge group of evangelical guys on there. But then we also had a lot of old-school veterans, like back from the days of just, you sit in the equipment room and drink beers after practice on Thursday, and there was friction there. It was interesting. It was really interesting.
If I had to guess about you, I feel like you probably spent time sitting with both groups of guys like that. Just because you're a curious person that way.
I would, and I try to get along with everybody.
Right.
But I would have like kind of Tony Vaselli and I used to get into arguments about I'll say theology, just various. It was interesting. They had a bunch of guys who were evangelicals, but they also got taken in by a bunch of frauds, a bunch of con men. Mm-hmm. And there were a few guys that like lost a boatload of money because some dude that had been basically lost all of his financial licenses from the Securities and Exchange Commission just became their advisor and got them in on all these. Do you remember? Okay, so, and then one of them in the diaspora of that group, one of them went up to the Chicago Bears, and he took Curtis Enos under his wing. So you remember Curtis Enos, first round pick of Penn State? That same dude, their advisor, was Curtis Enos's agent, negotiated a contract that was one of the worst contracts in the history of football, and Enos ended up shredding his knee early on in his career and basically walked away from the NFL with just about nothing because his bogus sham agent had negotiated all this awful things in his contract.
Yeah, that Curtis Enos, that was a horrible story. That Curtis Enos story, man. Payne and Pendergast with you. No Joe Mixon at practice yesterday. We should mention that. We'll circle back to the Texans here in headlines. So updates from Texans training camp. Astros lose last night. We'll get you up to speed on everything that happened there. And framework for a big trade in the NFL is in place. Does the trigger get pulled today sometime? We will tell you who and where that could happen with. And that is coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
That ball hit high and deep to right field. And this game's over. Josh Smith walks it off. Rangers down to their final out of the 10th. Astros lose in a heartbreaker 4-3. A two-out home run in the 8th ties it, and a two-out home run in the 10th wins it.
Yeah, brutal, man. At some point, depending on how this season plays out, if they make the postseason and they win the division, then all's well that ends well. But, man, if they don't make the postseason, Seth, the number of games they had, like the one last night, they've had so many games that they've blown. Or, I mean, all the blown saves early in the year, you know?
Ocho just texted in and said, hey, this offense is the same as it's ever been. They've always been streaky. It's just the pitching drought early in the season that killed them. No, they've been a mediocre offense on the season. They're 13th in runs scored. Yeah. You go back to 2019, they were a top three offense. It's not the same. That's not the same lineup. We had moments where Carlos Correa was hitting in the 7-hole. The Astros, at times in their championship run, have had like two full lineups. You could go 1-4, and then here's your second a lineup in 4-8 or 5-8 that would have actually been a pretty damn good starting lineup.
Top of the lineup,
or top four lineup on another major league team.
Yep. It's not the case anymore, man. The lineup falls off a cliff after the first four guys, and it came back to roost last night. It's really come back to roost throughout the month of August so far. They lose 4-3 to the Rangers. Thankfully, even amidst all this futility offensively, they're only a game and a half back of the Seattle Mariners. The division is what's keeping the Astros alive right now because they're well back of the wild card race. And the other part, Seth, too, the Rangers, they play the Rangers a couple more games. They've got a really tough stretch of baseball coming up here. Like, they play a bunch of teams coming up here, starting with the Red Sox later this week, that are not just hanging around 500 like the Pirates and the Rays were the last two series, which, by the way, both series that they lost. They play some really good to elite teams coming up here on this schedule.
I think the biggest thing is that, look, I don't think this is ever going to be this season and like a consistently high powered offense, but the pitching, especially with the return of Verlander and Garcia, hopefully, and if Kikuchi can keep doing what he did in that first outing, you know, teams are going to realize, okay, he's throwing a lot more changeups. They'll be more prepared than the Rays were for the newly revamped Kikuchi, but you've got more options and you've got more hope now. Yep. Hunter Brown was great last night. You know, it's going to be dicey, and there will be another couple offensive surges. So it's not like I'm, you know, calling it a season or anything like that. It's just, man, when you start talking about some of these minor leaguers that Dana Brown's having to call up, that part's the part that you get nervous when you've got so many guys that have pitched more innings than they've ever pitched. You've got guys like Altuve and Bregman that have played a boatload of games. It's getting tense, man.
Yep. Our baseball talk is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at t-mobile.com/switch. Texans in Ohio to practice this week. They'll practice today and tomorrow. They practiced yesterday in advance of heading to Pittsburgh to play to face the Steelers on Friday. The starters will play in that game on Friday. We don't know for how long, but they'll play. They'll start, including C.J. Stroud, who was reportedly dealing yesterday. We know the offense, the last handful of practices before they left for Canton, Seth, you and I were out there, did not look good. The offense, it's the first string offense,
no,
too.
Everything looked big. It was getting to the point where you thought, like, okay, these guys need to see a different uniform. They need to go against some guys other than their teammates.
Yeah. And CJ had been kind of, openly frustrated at practice, I thought. We didn't get to see it yesterday. We'll talk to John Harrison a little over an hour at 8 o'clock today. Johnny was out there. We'll get his impressions of what he saw. Everything I read from everybody who was out there was that it was a really good day for the first string offense yesterday.
And, you know, for D'Amico, the way he described it was that there were a lot of contested balls and things. It's the kind of training camp practice you want where the offense is good, but it wasn't like it was easy, that you had to be really dialed in and on point. I think that, remember Sarge and I had a little bit of an argument about, not an argument, we just kind of disagreed about whether the offense maybe was being limited because they couldn't go full bore. You're trying to stay on your feet and everything, so the offensive line was having a hard time with some of the physicality of the veteran defensive linemen. Mm-hmm. Sarge was correct in our disagreement. I think the offensive line needed to see some new blood. I think they needed to be able to block people with no fear of going to the ground, all of that stuff, because we saw that in the game. I thought it was even though it was against backups, we saw Juice Scruggs and Kenyon Green especially look like a different version of themselves than we'd seen the first 2 weeks.
Definitely.
Sometimes that's enough to kind of click things into gear.
How about the place they're practicing at? Did you see some of the footage of it?
I've showed you the footage of all the... Yeah.
Okay.
I showed you the... Maybe you were out when I... We went through the university school's campus and all the pictures of the park-like setting, and it looks like a small college or something. It's beautiful.
Oh, okay.
There.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's... But the shots on the NFL Network, like the still shots, don't do it justice for how huge that practice facility is. It's gigantic.
Maybe I spent more time than I thought we did it on air. I spent a good amount of time on the website for the university school.
Yeah.
I told you I was going to try to enroll.
Yeah.
Get a fake birth certificate and enroll as a transfer junior.
It was downright idyllic yesterday, man. It was beautiful. It was a nice scene there.
Wasn't as nice and cool as I think maybe the guys had hoped. I think it was still like in the high 80s.
Yeah, it was warmer than it was for the first 7 or 8 practices here. You know, it didn't get... It was in the mid-80s. Like here, it was barely 80 degrees for all those... You know, the practices when it was raining that whole time. Framework in place reportedly for a Brandon Ayuk trade to either the Browns or the Patriots. So neither of those two teams were two of the teams when Brandon Ayuk, I think, was on the Pivot podcast and was asked, what uniform do you see yourself in? this coming season. He said 49ers first, and then either the Commanders or the Steelers. Both of those teams were in talks with the 49ers, but the Commanders dropped out early on, it sounds like. The Steelers dropped out just because the asking price got too high. So reportedly, it would be a receiver and some draft capital going back to the Niners from either of these two teams. The Browns trade, from what I've read, it would be Amari Cooper going to the 49ers.
Oh, wow.
The Patriots, the Patriots, it would be Kendrick Bourne going to the 49ers. And, the Browns I get, trading draft capital and Amari Cooper to get Brandon Ayuk, because whoever trades for him is going to have to sign him to a pretty high-level wide receiver deal in the neighborhood of $28 to $30 million a year. The Patriots make no sense to me for this. The Patriots are in a complete rebuild, and now you're going to pay a top-line receiver to play with Drake May and Jacoby Brissett. That just doesn't make any sense.
Things get dicey. Like, I wonder if Ayuk would just, if he makes it known that he really would prefer to go to the Browns than the Patriots, he can make it sticky for him.
Sure.
He can kind of drive down his own price. I know you're trading the player, but teams don't want to trade for a player that really doesn't want to go there. So, boy, if I'm Ayuk, it's not like you feel awesome about Deshaun Watson, but at least you've seen him play well in the NFL.
Yeah.
And he would look at himself as a guy that could help unlock that, perhaps.
Yep.
But the Patriots rolling out there with just either Jacoby Brissett or Drake May, that's a lot more tenuous.
But having two teams involved, I think, helps Ayuk. Like, Ayuk may not even want to go to New England, but he'll keep them involved in it just to drive his salary up with the Browns,
If he's smart about it.
If he's smart about it.
That's the big if.
Yeah.
If he just, he could drive his price up and help the 49ers out, unless he starts yapping on social media or his girlfriend goes off or something.
Which is a possibility.
Because his girlfriend has spoken out about it on social media before.
Yep.
That's the 49ers are right now are just like pleading with Ayuk's agent. Like, please just have him stay quiet about this. Please have him stay quiet about this. Okay. He wants to go to the Browns. Fine. But just let us pretend that the Patriots are actually in on it.
Yep. Real quick, Simone Biles, silver yesterday in the floor exercise. Fifth in the balance beam. She fell off the balance beam, but she finishes the Olympics in Paris with 4 medals, 11 total Olympic medals in her career. She's not completely closed the door on participating in 2028, but she'd be in her early 30s at that point, which if we do the conversion chart on what a gymnast at age 31 is in the real world, that's like 70 years old.
Yeah,
that's old for a gymnast. Yeah,
she's old now
for a gymnast at 27 or whatever she is.
She has—is it 5 or 6 moves that are named after her because she's the only person? It's because she was the first person that
I don't
that
know.
Did it.
Yeah,
I feel like if you execute that double pike that nobody else in the world can do. There's no part of me that thinks that she couldn't do the same thing 4 years from now, or at least like maybe she's not doing it to that level, but that she couldn't compete 4 years from now.
Yep. All right. Let's 7 o'clock hour here. We've got some leftovers from the weekend at the Hall of Fame, and a question that I put up. I'm a little surprised at what the results of this poll were. At least as I looked last night, whose career would you rather have? Andre Johnson's or Julian Edelman's? We'll explain and think about it. We'll explain when we come back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.